الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب طاعة الأمراء باب طاعة الأمراء أي في المعروف. The chapter with regards to the obligation of obeying the rulers, with regards to the obligation of obeying the Muslim rulers, meaning in the ma'ruf, in that which is allowed and lawful, and that which is legislated and considered permissible. From the great fundamentals and foundations of al-Islam, and the great commandments and orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he called to is unity and unification, al-ijtima' al-haqqi wal-huda, to be united, to be unified upon the truth and upon guidance, and to be with your brother hand in hand, and to be in accordance with him in creed, and to be in accordance with him in creed and in belief, and likewise in statement and action and deed, to cooperate together upon piety and righteousness. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And Allah, He has ordered the believers to cooperate altogether upon piety and righteousness, and He has forbidden them from cooperating upon sin and transgression. So to be unified is a fundamental principle and foundation of the religion, and from the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be united upon the proper creed and proper belief, and to be united upon the proper methodology and way. And this is to learn the deen of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and what he was upon in creed and belief, and likewise in actions of worship and devotion, as well as manners and etiquettes and contracts and dealings. To learn his way sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which he taught his companions radiyallahu anhum, and that which they were upon. This is the means of unification, and this is the means of unity in the religion. But likewise, in order for this to be established, there must be unity in the worldly life as well. There must be unity in the worldly life as well, in the affairs of the worldly life in the society. And the means for that is to have a ruler, and to have someone who is a leader, as someone that will be in charge of the affairs, as someone that will implement the laws of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that the people they will listen to and they will obey him. And he will be the means of solving disputes, and he will be the means of unification, and the people will be united behind him. So this is the case here, the obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler. So the religion will be established, and likewise the worldly affairs, by having unity and by having peace. And this requires a ruler, and this requires a ruler. And there's no ruler except by way of listening and obeying his commands, And again, this is limited to that which he commands and orders, from that which is allowed and permissible. As if a Muslim ruler or anyone ordered to do something that is haram and impermissible, he will not be obeyed at this time. But even then, likewise, there's a means to disobey the people whenever they order with something that is haram or impermissible. Those who have authority and those who have status and rank, for example, the ruler, or even, for example, to understand the father. If one of them were ever to order those under their care to do something that is impermissible, they must be disobeyed. The one who is ordering that, the ruler, for example, or the father of the household, he must be disobeyed at this time. But he must be disobeyed likewise with honor and respect, respecting his status and knowing his rank, and disobeying him in a manner that will not bring about fitna, or not bring about trials, or not bring about trouble or corruptions. For example, a father, if he ordered his son to purchase alcohol for him, he will disobey him in that. It's an obligation for the son to disobey him in that, but it's not allowed for him to belittle his father in any manner, or to disrespect him. Rather, he will kindly disobey him and refrain from following that command without saying words of harshness or rudeness to him. And this is because of the position of the father and the right that he has in the household. Similar to that is the position that the ruler has and his status in the society. in the society. So this is something that al-Islam has clarified and established, the obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler and that which is allowed and permissible. So therefore, to disobey him and to violate that, this is from the great crimes and sins that lead to much corruption and much chaos and bloodshed and violation of many rights throughout the lands. So the author, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. So the author, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, O you who believe, and he calling on the people of faith by the description of faith, O you who believe in Allah in the last day, O you who believe in the messengership and the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those in authority over you. And if you dispute amongst yourselves about anything, then refer it back to Allah and His messenger. Then refer it back to Allah and His messenger. If you truly believe in Allah and the last day. If you truly believe in Allah and the last day. And this is best and better for final determination. And this is best and better for final determination. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has ordered the believers to obey Allah and likewise to obey His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ. And He mentioned the word obey specifically. This is a command and an order. Obey Allah. O you who believe, obey Allah. O you who believe, obey Allah. It's an order. وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. And obey the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obey the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here the word obey is the command form of this word, ordering for obedience, is being repeated both times with regards to the obedience of Allah and also with regards to the obedience of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we understand from this that the obedience of Allah and His Messenger is ta'an mutlaqa. It's absolute obedience that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they must be obeyed in every circumstance. They must be obeyed in every circumstance. And obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the establishment of the deen and the religion. And it is, in reality, the test and the trial that we are held accountable with regards to. And that will be asked about in the hereafter. The accountability that is upon us and the responsibility that is upon us. Obeying Allah azza wa jal. Obeying Allah azza wa jal. This is ubudiyyah, servitude and submission and obedience that must be performed humbly and sincerely for the sake of Allah. And likewise in that. And that obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal is the best interest of mankind and the benefit for mankind. Those who obey Allah Azza wa Jal, they will have nothing but good from that. They will have peace and happiness, and they will have tranquility and ease and contentment in their heart. And likewise, Allah will facilitate for them their affairs. So this is with regards to obeying Allah Azza wa Jal. But likewise, it's an obligation to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, absolutely likewise. And this is because He is the one who conveys. And this is because He is the one who conveys. And He orders that which Allah has ordered Him to order. And that which He orders is by the command and the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Is by the command and the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So likewise, every success and every good and all happiness lies in this affair as well. And in reality, it's not possible to obey Allah except by obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not possible to obey Allah except by obeying His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because He is the one who has conveyed to mankind that which was revealed to him. That which was revealed to him. مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. Allah, He mentioned in His book, and whoever obeys the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed he has obeyed Allah azza wa jal. And likewise, Allah, He mentioned in His book as well, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That we have not sent any messenger except that he should be obeyed by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So therefore, this is the case. After this, in this noble verse, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَأُولِ الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Not repeating the order or the command for obedience when mentioning those who have authority over you, meaning the Muslim rulers. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who have authority over you. So therefore, it's understood from this likewise that the obedience to those Muslim rulers who have authority over us is an obligation, but that is only in accordance to that which Allah and His Messenger order sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is only in accordance to that which Allah and His Messenger order, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no absolute obedience to anyone from the creation besides the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from anyone after that. There's no absolute obedience. Every obedience after that is restricted and confined and considered according to that which has been clarified in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we are ordered to obey Allah absolutely and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam absolutely. And likewise we are ordered in this noble verse to obey those who have authority over us. But that obedience is restricted and understood according to that which is in accordance with the command of Allah and the command of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah has referred us back in any times that we dispute in this noble verse likewise, فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. So the absolute obedience is for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that likewise there's obedience for those who have authority as well, and that's in accordance to the command of Allah and His Messenger. But if there's ever any dispute, Allah Azza wa Jalla has referred us back to the source that we take as a judge to solve our disputes. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. And if you dispute amongst yourselves about anything, then refer it back to Allah. Meaning refer it back to His book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to His law and to His sharia, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and refer it back to His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning in his lifetime, and to His authentic sunnah after His death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the case for those who truly believe in Allah and the last day. And likewise, this is the means of success and the means for the best in the final determination and outcome. So the evidence here for the obligation of obeying the rulers is clear. It's clear. And that is the case that they will be obeyed in the ma'roof. And this is for the betterment and for the best of the society, in order for the society to run and to flow and to have order. And whenever there is order in society and there is a government that is in place and there is a leader who was established and appointed and he sets the laws and enforces them and the likes like this, then the worldly life is established in this manner and the economy is established in this manner and the worldly benefits come about in this manner and the people, they go to work and they eat and the provision is coming. Alhamdulillah. And likewise the religion is established in this manner as well. The religion is established in this manner as well. As for whenever there's no ruler and there's chaos in the lands and chaos in the street and it's not safe to move through the lands and the means to seek a livelihood and to earn a living become very restricted and become very difficult, along with the fact that security is lost and safety is lost and it's dangerous to go through the lands and it's dangerous to go through the lands because there's no authority and there's no one preserving the security and maintaining the safety of the streets and the pathways and of the markets and the likes like this. And likewise as well, the religion is not established in this manner. Likewise, the religion is lost and neglected and much deficiency comes in this manner. As for whenever there's a ruler and as for whenever there's order in the land, then the worldly affair is established and the religion is established and the da'wah is moving and is proceeding in that manner. So there are many great benefits from the obligation of this affair and why it is legislated to obey the Muslim ruler. And this again is restricted to that which is in accordance to the Quran and to the Sunnah. لَا طَاعَةِ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned لَا طَاعَةِ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ, that there is no obedience to the creation and the disobedience to Allah. So the author, he says, now وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. So Allah Azza wa Jal, in this noble verse, He has ordered the believers likewise to fear Allah, and to take a means of protection, to take a shield and a means of protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His anger and from His wrath and from His punishment. And this is by believing in Him, by believing in Him and complying to the commandments. And likewise avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. Abiding by His law and legislation, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. To fear Allah as much as you can. With regards to performing the obligations, then what He must fulfill them to the best of His ability. Any that a person, he will strive to perform them to the best of his ability. Yani meaning that he will do as much as he can from those obligations. And this has been clarified in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an example of that. Whenever one of the companions in Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, he had a sickness and it was difficult for him to stand and the likes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, صَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَقَائِدًا فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ, that you must pray while you're standing, and if you're not able to, then while you're sitting, and if you're not able to, then while you're laying on your side, then while you're laying on your side. So this obligation of salat, it must be established regardless. So long as a person, he is of age and he has his sanity, it must be established. So a person, he will not say that Allah, he says, fear Allah as much as you can, and it's only possible for him to pray, for example, two times a day, and the rest of the prayers are difficult for him. It's hard for him to get up at Fajr, so he's not going to pray Fajr, because Allah, he says, fear Allah as much as you can. This is not the proper understanding. This is not the proper understanding. This is a foul and a bad understanding. Rather, those five daily prayers, they must be established in every circumstance, in every situation, even in times of traveling, or even in times of danger, even in times of fear, or even in times of war. The prayer must be established. Although in certain circumstances and situations, the means to perform it could be lightened. And this is what is intended here. Fear Allah as much as you can. Meaning that that prayer must be established at the proper time. But if you're not able to stand, then you can pray while you're sitting. And if you're not able to sit, then you can pray while you're laying down. So this is an example of that. To fear Allah as much as you can. And from fearing Allah Azza wa Jal is to obey the Muslim ruler. So one, he must obey the Muslim ruler as much as he can in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, so long as he did not order him with anything that is considered impermissible and not allowed, or to perform any action or any statement that is contrary to the law and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He will not obey him in that. Rather, he will disobey him. But even then, he will disobey him in a manner that will be respectful and not bring about fitna and trials and cause a more severe and a worse situation to come about, yani, in place of that which he was in. So now the author, he mentioned some narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه مرفوعة الغزو غزوان فأما من ابتغى به وجه الله وأطاع الإمام وأنفق الكريمة وياسر الشريك واجتنب الفساد فإن نومه ونهبته أجر كله وأما من غزا فخرا ورياء وسمعة وعصى الإمام وأفسد في الأرض فإنه لن يرجع بالكفاف رواه أبو داود والنسائي. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-ghazwu ghazwan, that the battles, there are two types. And this is with regards to the niyyah. And you have the bi'tibar and niyyah. This is with regards to the person's intention. The battles, there are two types. As for the one who seeks the face of Allah, I mean, he seeks the reward and the pleasure from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he's doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala, hoping for the reward of Allah alone, and to raise and to establish the shahada in the land in this manner like this. As for the one who seeks the face of Allah Azza wa Jal, wa ata'a al-imam, and he obeyed the ruler, then this is the shahid for the author, and he obeyed the imam, he obeyed the ruler, and he, in that battle, and he spent the precious wealth that he has, and likewise he was easy in dealing with his partner, and he stayed away from fasad and corruption. He stayed away from corruption, meaning in his battle, stayed away from corruption, meaning from killing the children, or killing those who are non-combatants, or harming the people who have contracts, or violating or acting in a manner of treachery against the oaths and the contracts, or by destroying the property unlawfully or unrightfully, or any other of the aspects of fasad and corruption and evil and foulness that are impermissible even in times of war. Anyone, he must avoid this. So the one who avoids these affairs in this manner, then his sleeping along with while he's awake, all of that is considered from his ajr. All of that is considered from his reward, and he will have reward for that. فَإِنَّ نَوْمَهُ وَنُهْبَتَهُ, his sleeping, while he's sleeping, and also while he is awake, all of this is nothing but reward for him. but reward for him. This is the case for the one who fights in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal legislatively and lawfully, yani in a manner that is allowed under the banner of the Muslim ruler, which is clear here likewise from the conditions of that. From the conditions of that, first and foremost, is that he's seeking the pleasure of Allah and he obeys the Imam. And he obeys the Imam, he obeys the ruler in his battle. This is the point for the Shahid likewise. And also he's spending his wealth and he's dealing with those in his company with ease, making it facilitated and dealing with them in an easy manner. And also he's avoiding corruption and indecency, and wreaking havoc and committing actions that are considered impermissible for the fighter in the path of Allah to commit, from destroying the property or from harming those who have contracts and violating the rights of those who have rights and the likes like this. So this person here who has this intention and he fights in this manner, then while he's sleeping, he has a reward. And while he's awake, he has a reward. And he, so long as he's in that path, and so long as he's in this cause, and so long as he's in this intention, and he's abiding by this law and legislation in this manner, obeying the leader and not working corruption or fasad in the earth while he's fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, then all of his life, whether he's sleeping or whether he's awake, is considered a good deed and an action that he will have reward for. And there's an indication here of the importance of having good intention. And the one who has a good intention and he is sincere in that, many times the everyday affairs of his life, they can be turned into actions that he has a great reward for. Here we see this person, because of this action and because of his obedience and following the sunnah restrictedly in this manner, even while he's sleeping, he has a reward. Likewise, it has been collected by Bukhari as well from the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, likewise, that whenever he was sent to Yemen with Abi Musa radiallahu anhuma, he mentioned to him, and he said, أحتسب نومتي كما أحتسب قومتي. He says, أما أنا, as for me, he's asking about how he prays the night prayer. So then Mu'adh, he mentioned, after hearing what Abu Musa he mentioned, he says, as for me, then I seek the reward from my sleeping in the same manner I seek the reward while I'm awake. I seek the reward while I'm sleeping. From the same way, I seek the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal while I'm awake. And he meaning that he will go to sleep early and he will take the means and he will have the intention to get up and the likes like this. And he will sleep in a manner that is according to the sunnah, with his good intention, with the intention to get up in the end of the night, to pray the night prayer and the likes like this. So therefore, while he's sleeping, he's hoping for a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. Going to bed early, sleeping, and with the intention of obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and recuperating himself and having strength so he can get up in time to pray the night prayer before the Fajr. So with this good intention, especially if a person, he were, for example, to follow the sunnah and going to sleep, and to sleep upon the tahara, and likewise to make the adhkar, and to try to go to sleep on his right side, so on and so forth. All of this here is, in reality, bringing together the conditions, bringing together the conditions for the actions of worship, which is to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who sleeps in this manner, then he will have a reward even while he's sleeping. And this is what he's referring to. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise is indicating here in this narration. The one who has a good intention, even his whole life can be turned into actions of worship. Even his eating and his drinking can be turned into actions of worship. Even his relations with his family and enjoying himself and in taking pleasure in the likes like this can be for him an action that he will have a reward for if he has a good intention. And this requires for a person to learn the intention and to learn about the intention and learn how to benefit from the intention and to use it in his best interest and to remember Allah Azza wa Jalla in these different circumstances and situations. This is a beautiful benefit Mu'adh is mentioning here, from the narration in Bukhari. أَحْتَسِبُ نَوْمَتِي كَمَا أَحْتَسِبُ قَوْمَتِي. I seek the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, and I hope for His mercy while I'm sleeping, the same way I do that while I'm awake. And by remembering Allah Azza wa Jal and performing these actions in a manner that is legislated, in a manner that is pleasing, and in a manner that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. The point here is that from the condition to have this reward is that one, along with being sincere, he must obey the Imam. He must obey the Imam in his battle and his fighting. He must not disobey him, so long as he did not order to do anything that is impermissible or unlawful. The second type of individual, fighting in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, with regards to the intention is contrary to that. He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ غَزَى فَخْرًا وَرِيَاءً وَسُمْعًا. As for the one who was fighting and out of pride and showing off and wanting to be heard, and he disobeyed the Imam. This is another shahid. And he disobeyed the Imam, and he worked corruption in the earth, meaning taking the war booty before it has been divided, for example, taking the spoils of war or something from that before it has been divided, or acting treacherously, or fighting or harming or killing those who are innocent, any from the enemies, those who the we have been forbidden in times of war to harm them or to fight them, like those who are elders or those who are non-combatant and the likes like this, or those who are in their places of worship, or those who are children and those who are women. It's not allowed to harm them and to fight them and the likes like this, and to fight them or to harm them or to kill them is considered working corruption in the land, or to destroy the property without right and the likes like this, or to violate those rights that Allah has set. Even in these harsh and difficult circumstances, there's a lot to be abided by. The one who violates that and works corruption in the land, or he fights with this foul intention, and he for the people to say, oh, so-and-so is brave, oh, so-and-so is strong, or so-and-so is this, and the likes like this, to see, so that he can be seen, and so that his name could be mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَرْجِعَ بِالْكَفَافِ. This person, he will not return بِالْكَفَافِ. At kifaf, what it literally means, لَيْسَ لَهُ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ. Somebody, they say about him, رَجَعَ بِالْكَفَافِ. And يُرَجَعَ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ وَلَيْسَ لَهُ شَيْءٌ. لَيْسَ لَهُ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ. The one who had returned from something, بِالْكَفَافِ, meaning there's nothing against him, nor is there nothing for him. And he returned, he broke even. The person who received kifaf, somebody, and he broke even. He broke even. He did not gain anything good, nor did he lose anything bad. Nothing is against him, nor is there anything for him. So the one who fights in this manner, he will not return in this manner. Meaning definitely he will not have reward. And now likewise, he will not return any without anything upon him. Meaning he's going to return, and there are going to be major sins upon him. There are going to be major sins upon him. So this is a great threat for this affair. But the point of evidence here is the obligation in the times of war, specifically here, and in battles, to obey the Muslim ruler and the one who hopes for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is a condition to obtain that. And as for the one who disobeyed the Muslim ruler in this circumstance and this time, then he's threatened with this affair that he will return. And it is clarifying that this is considered a sin. That this is considered a sin. Then the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, wa an ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma marfu'a, ala al-mar'il muslimi as-sam'u wa ta'atu fima ahabba wa karih illa an yumara bima'siyatin. فإذا أمر بمعصية فلا سمع ولا طاعة فلا سمع ولا طاعة. Then the author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, على المرء المسلم السمع وطاعة فيما أحب وكره. That it's an obligation upon a Muslim person that he must listen and obey the Muslim ruler, and that which he likes and that which he dislikes, and that which he likes and that which he dislikes. So the obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler is not according to a person's desires. It's not according to a person's desires. It's not left up to the hawa that he will say, oh, the Muslim ruler ordered with this thing, I like this, I'll do it. The Muslim ruler ordered with this thing, I don't like this, I don't have to do it. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning here in this narration that it's an obligation to obey the Muslim ruler, whether it's with regards to something that he likes or that he dislikes, illa an yu'mara bima'siyah, except in the case if he's ordered to disobey Allah. If he's ordered to disobey Allah or disobey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except in the case whenever he's ordered with disobedience. فَإِذَا أُمِرَ بِمَعْسِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمْعَ وَلَا طَاعَةٍ. And if a person is ordered with disobedience, then at this time there's no listening and there's no obeying. Then there's no listening and there is no obeying. أَخْرَجَاهُ. أَخْرَجَاهُ meaning that this is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. By Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So this narration is very clear. The obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler. The obligation of obeying the Muslim ruler and that which is considered obedience and allowed. And that which is considered obedience and allowed. No matter what that affair may be. If he ordered with something that is allowed, it's an obligation for those who are under his authority to obey him. It's an obligation for those who are under his authority to obey him. For example, if the Muslim ruler ordered a particular scholar, for example, to not give fatwa. It's an obligation for him to obey him, to not teach. And if there are other people teaching and the likes like this, then it's an obligation for him to obey him. If the particular Muslim ruler, for example, ordered for an individual to close his store, to close his business, it's an obligation to obey him. It's an obligation to obey him. So this all of this is something that is from the obligations of that Islam. And we see here that this narration is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. In Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And from the most authentic narrations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many narrations in the same meaning. And this is because of the general benefit that comes about from obeying the Muslim ruler. This is from the general benefit that comes about from obeying the Muslim ruler, and likewise from the great chaos and the great trials and calamities that come from disobeying the Muslim ruler. After this, the author, he continues the topic. Now he says, Babu al-Khuruji an al-Jama'ah. Babu al-Khuruji an al-Jama'ah. The chapter with regards to going away from the Jama'ah, to making a revolution or going against the ruler. Bab al-Khuruj an al-Jama'ah. The Jama'ah, with Khuruj an al-Jama'ah, it has a number of different meanings. In general, the Jama'ah in general is those who are following the truth, and those who are upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. And this is what Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he interpreted the word Jama'ah to mean. He said, "Atadri ma al-Jama'ah?" Do you know what is the Jama'ah? And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, "Man wafaq al-haq walau kana wahda." He's the one who is in accordance with the truth, even if he's alone. This is one interpretation of the Jama'ah. So the Jama'ah is the one who's holding fast to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of the Salaf al-Salih. This would be considered the Jama'ah. Likewise, the one who goes against the Jama'ah and opposes the Jama'ah, and he from the understandings of this any issue here, is the one who leaves the religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he mentioned it's not allowed, the blood of a Muslim person is not allowed, it's sacred, and it's not allowed to be violated, except in three circumstances. From that, أَتَارِكُ لِدِينِهِ الْمُفَارِقُ لِلْجَمَاعَةِ. The one who leaves his religion and he goes out away from the Jama'ah. Any from al-Islam is what is intended here, going out from the Jama'ah, any from leaving Islam in entirety. What is intended here in this chapter, and Allah knows best, أَبَابَ الْخُرُوجِ عَنِ الْجَمَاعَةِ, what is intended here, is leaving the obedience and the authority of the Muslim ruler. Not the one who leaves the religion. This is specific here. So what is being referred to about the Jama'ah here? Yani al-Khuruj an al-Jama'ah, yani al-Khuruj an ta'ati wali al-Amr. Al-Khuruj an al-Sam'i wa ta'ati lil-Wali al-Amr. The one who leaves off and he revolts against the Muslim ruler and he prohibits any to obey him or to listen to him. وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يُشَاقِخِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. The author, he mentions now, after mentioning the chapter about going away from the Jama'ah and leaving the congregation, again leaving the obedience, turning away from obeying the Muslim ruler and making khuruj and revolting against the Muslim ruler, and the statement of Allah the Most High, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِخِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَسِيرًا. He mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, and whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the guidance is made clear to him, and he follows away other than the way of the believers, then we'll leave him to that which he has chosen, and we'll land him in the hellfire, and this is the worst of destinations. The people of knowledge have used this noble verse here as an evidence for the correctness of the ijma', that the consensus of the believers is a proof and an evidence that is considered and it is correct. And this is based upon the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla here, that whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the evidence has been made clear, and after the issue has been made clear to him, the evidence is presented to him from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and then he persists in opposition to that, and he chooses a way and follows a way other than the way of the believers, other than the way of the believers. So this portion here is an evidence for the correctness of the proof that is established in the ijma', or in the consensus. Those who go away from the way of the believers, then they have left that which the believers, they have a consensus with regards to, and they have opposed that. So therefore, that which is a consensus amongst the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it's a proof, and it's an evidence, and it must be followed and not opposed. And it must be followed and not opposed. And likewise, this is an evidence here as well for the obligation of following the way of the companions first and foremost, radiallahu anhum. Because at the time of this revelation, the only believers that were alive whenever this verse was revealed were the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his noble companions. So those who opposed the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the evidence that was made clear to them, and they followed away other than the believers. At the time of this revelation, the only believers at that time were the noble companions, radiallahu anhum. Radiallahu anhum. So the result of that is that Allah will leave them to that which they have chosen, and they have the threat of being placed in the hellfire, the worst of all destinations. The worst of all destinations. If it was sufficient just to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was not considered the issue of following the companions along with that, then there's no need here to mention. There's no need here to mention, and that follows away other than the believers. Allah, He says, those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's enough here. It's enough here to establish that affair, the obligation of following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in addition to that, the one who opposes the Messenger, after the guidance is made clear, and he follows a way other than the way of the believers, and he other than the way of the companions, and he follows a way other than the way of the companions. So the way of the companions is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is understood from here. So it's not allowed to oppose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after guidance has come. And likewise, it's not allowed to follow a way other than the believers, meaning other than the companions, radiyallahu anhum, in creed, and in iman, in belief, and likewise in the manner of performing the obligations from the actions of worship, and the non-obligatory actions of worship, and likewise in manners and conduct. They're the role models, because they're upon that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon. They're the ones who conveyed that. The point is that Allah, He clarified this clearly in this verse. He clarified this clearly in this verse. Those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam after the guidance is made clear, along with that, they oppose and they follow a way other than the way of the believers. At the time of this revelation, there's no believers except for the companions. So they're included first and foremost. So those who follow a way other than the companions, they have the threat that Allah will leave them in that which they've chosen. That Allah will leave them in that which they have chosen. So the first consensus and the first ijma' is that which the companions were upon. Is that which the companions were upon. So this is a great evidence for that. Also included in that here is going against the Muslim ruler and leaving the congregation. And this is what the author, he has intended here. What the author, he has intended here. So now he says, وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And the statement of Allah the Most High, and hold fast all of you together to the rope of Allah. To the rope of Allah, it's been mentioned a number of interpretations. Yani, it's been mentioned al-Islam. It's been mentioned the Quran. It's been mentioned the Sunnah. All of this is correct. Holding on to the rope of Allah Azza wa Jal, holding on to that which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Holding on to that alone. Holding on to that alone. وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Hold fast to the deen of Allah, to the religion of Allah, to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Quran and to the Sunnah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And this is the evidence here for the author. And do not be divided. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be divided. Do not be divided. Do not be separated. Do not be divided. Do not be separated. How can you be united? How can you avoid being divided? By having a ruler. How can one be united behind the ruler? Except by obeying him and listening to him and that which is allowed. One cannot be united except by obeying the ruler and listening to him and following his orders and that which is permissible and allowed. Permissible and allowed. So the evidence is here like this. Likewise, after this verse, Allah, He has warned as well, وَلَا تُكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَيْكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And do not be like those who divided before and differed after the clear guidance had come to them. And these people here, they will have a great punishment. they'll have a great punishment. So there's an obligation to be united. And the means of that, any in the religion, is to be united upon that which the Prophet ﷺ was upon in his companions. And that's clarified in that previous verse. We just discussed that. As for being united in the worldly affair, and this is the point for the author. As for being united in the worldly affair, and that's the point for the author here, is to be united by listening to the imam and to the Muslim ruler and obeying him in that which is allowed and permissible. And this is the only way to be united. If not, there will be division. If not, this is how division comes. This is how division comes, by splitting into groups, and each one thinking that his group is the best and that he's the leader, and everyone fighting against the other one and hoping to have authority and power and the likes like this, until they're divided into different sects and different groups. Until they're divided into different sects and different groups, and this is in reality the ways of al-jahiliyyah. In the times of Jahiliyyah, they did not have one leader that they would follow behind. Rather, they all had different leaders fighting one another and the likes like this, and taking places and changing turns in authority. The author now, he refers to this affair by mentioning the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He says, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma marfu'a. That is narrated by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من كره من أميره شيئا فليصبر فإن من خرج من السلطان قيد شبر مات ميتة جاهلية أخرجاه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever dislikes something from his ruler, meaning he sees his ruler committing some actions of sin or allowing some things to happen that are not permissible, or the likes like this, or he's oppressive and he's taking the rights of the citizens, so on and so forth. Man kariha min amirihi shay'an. Whoever dislikes something from his leader, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to do? Falyasbir. Then let him be patient. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ السَّلْطَانِ قِيدَ شِبْرٍ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. Because indeed, whoever leaves the authority of the ruler, قِيدَ شِبْرٍ يَعْنِي مِقْدَار شِبْرٍ. The shibr is a handspan. Whoever leaves the authority of the ruler for the distance of a handspan, and then he dies the death of the times of Jahiliyyah. Then he dies the death of the times of Jahiliyyah. Any similar to that? And this is the manner that he will die. Not necessarily that he's a disbeliever. This is not what is intended. Not that he's a disbeliever, but in the manner. Dying in this manner without having an allegiance, without confessing to the authority, and taking that as a religion and deen. Obeying the Muslim ruler is a deen. Deenun yudanu bihi. This is religion. A person who will obey the Muslim ruler, any for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of the ruler or for some position to the ruler or drawing near to the people of authority to have something from the worldly life. Whether this is a religion, whether this is deen, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered it. So a believer, he will obey the Muslim ruler and that which is allowed, believing in these narrations, believing in the likes of these narrations, and complying to them and following them, And this, as is mentioned here, is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the one who dies in this manner, he dies the death of Jahiliyyah. Because this is how they were in the times of Jahiliyyah. From the greatest issues that the people of Jahiliyyah were upon, that was in opposition to that which the Prophet ﷺ called to, whenever he became a prophet and messenger, is that they did not follow a ruler or have a particular ruler, whether they had many different sects and many different tribes, and all of them they're always fighting one another for authority and for command and for position and the likes like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he removed all of that and he united them all behind him, behind the Muslim ruler. In his life, he was the Muslim ruler sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of the tribes were united behind him, and all of the Muslims were united behind him. And this is the proper way, and this is the proper means. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's aware of the importance of this affair, and the peace and the order and the general goodness that comes about by having a Muslim ruler, whether he's good or bad, that the benefit of that is great compared to the chaos and the turmoil and the trials and the fitin that come when there's no ruler. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever sees something he dislikes from his Muslim ruler, meaning he allowed this or he allowed that, or he's doing this or he's doing that, so on and so forth, from the actions of disobedience and from that which is not good or that which is not praiseworthy, or he's harming the people, or he's oppressing the people, or he's not lawful with the people, he's keeping the money, he's preferring himself or his tribe, whatever the case may be, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَلْيَصْبِرْ. And whoever dies while leaving off the obedience to the authority, meaning to the Muslim ruler, then he dies in the manner of al-jahiliyyah, because that's what the people of jahiliyyah were upon. They refused to obey the authority and to have an allegiance to anyone besides their tribesmen and their people. Likewise, the author, he says, وَلِي مُسْلِمٍ عَنْ حُذَيْفَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا سَتَكُونُ بَعْدِي أَئِمَّةٌ لَا يَهْتَدُونَ بِهَدِي وَلَا يَسْتَنُّونَ بِسُنَّتِي وَسَيَقُومُ فِيهِمْ رِجَارٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الشَّيَاطِينَ فِي جُثْمَانِ إِنْسِ. The author, he mentioned the narration of Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, they're going to be after me imams, they're going to be after me rulers, and they do not follow my guidance, and nor do they follow my sunnah. Listen to the description of these rulers that are going to come after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is also clarifying his prophecy and prophethood. He's speaking about affairs that are going to come in the future after him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they came just as he has mentioned. They're going to be imams. They're going to be people of authority and leadership. What is the description? لا يهتدون بهدي. They do not follow my guidance. Yani they're not upon what I'm upon in application. ولا يستنون بسنتي. And they also are not following my sunnah. Yani with regards to understanding the affairs of life, they're not going back to the hadith and the narrations and taking their knowledge from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they're not upon the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in application, and they're not relying upon his narrations and understanding the affairs of life. So therefore they have opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in knowledge and in action. لا يهتدون بهدي ولا يستنون بسنتي. This is the traits of some of the leaders that will have authority over the Muslims after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then even on top of that, he said, there are going to be men who are going to be on authority over you, and their hearts are hearts of devils. قلوبهم قلوب الشياطين في جثمان الإنس. Their hearts are hearts of devils in the bodies of men. And the people are evil. There'll be people who are evil. They don't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in knowledge and not in application. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is testifying with revelation that their hearts are corrupted, and they have the hearts of devils. They have the hearts of devils in the bodies of men. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, now with his diligence to understand the proper way, and knowing that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's upon guidance and revelation. What does he say? Qultu ya Rasulullah. Qala Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Qultu ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Kayfa asna'u in adraktu thadika. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what should I do if I reach this time? Because Hudhayfa, he understands that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has guidance. And his guidance is the correct guidance, and his guidance is the best guidance. And his way is the best way, and following his way is the means of success. And in situations like this, specifically a person, he has to have guidance from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or great trials will come about. So he's asking, if I reach this time, what should I do? And he tell me, direct me and inform me of that which I should do. Meaning that in this time, it's not time for desires. If there are people who are in authority and they are not following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not in their manners, not in their conduct, not in their actions, and not in their knowledge, and their hearts appear to be like this, it's not left up to desires. It's not time for desires now. What is it time for? Now it's time for holding fast to the sunnah. Holding fast to the sunnah, because things could become very dangerous, and things could become very, very troublesome, and many problems could come about. And this is what we see today, because people, they don't follow the likes of these narrations. But Hudhayfa, he asked this affair, what should I do? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam listened to the prophetic advice. Everybody understand this situation? It's very clear, huh? English is very clear, right? The Arabic is clear, right? These men, they're leaders, right? They have authority over the Muslims. What is their attributes? They don't follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in application. They don't rely upon his narrations. They don't follow him in knowledge. They oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in knowledge and in application, in action. And also the Prophet testified sallallahu alaihi wasallam that their hearts are hearts of devils. Right? So what should you do now? What is the first thing you think you should do? Grab a weapon. Get rid of him. Take care of them. Remove them. Replace them. Huh? All of these ideas come maybe to some of the minds, right? These devils. Ya'udhu billah. In charge of the believers. In authority over the Muslims. A'udhu billah. It's not time for desires. Hudhayfa, he knew that. Mada asna'u ya Rasulullah in adraktu thalika. What should I do? O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I meet that time. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, tasma'u wa tuti'u al-amir. That you listen and you obey the ruler. The ruler, what was his attribute? He doesn't follow the Prophet, not in knowledge, not in action, and his heart is the heart of a devil. What should I do? You listen to him and you obey him. And then to emphasize the affair, وَإِنْ دُرِبَ ذَهْرُكَ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكَ فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِيعْ. Even if your back is beaten and your wealth is taken, then you listen to him and you obey him. You listen to him and you obey him. This is an amazing affair. The advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.